people here.
I guess to begin with, a few comments. First of all, again, my name's Abe Zilke. I've been Director of Christian Education and Youth at Our Savior since 71 when I came out of River Forest. Seen a couple of pastors come and go out there. But anyways, we're here this morning to talk about training adults for youth leadership. And what I'd like to do is to use, obviously, some of the handouts, all the handouts. We won't probably get into most of them in very much detail, but I think they're good pieces of resources to have and to put in your file, and you might be able to use them as you get out in the parish. We don't have a whole lot of time, 30 minutes left, to talk about training adults. So we really can't get into a lot of detail. What I'm going to do is just go down and deal with the concepts listed in the outline. There's 8 of them there on the goldenrod handout. One of the goldenrod handouts, training adults for youth leadership. And just touch on them very briefly. If you feel, and I hope you do after the presentation this morning, that you would want to get into these in more detail, the resources on the bottom half of that page are good ones for that purpose. You might even run across some of those later on today when you go through some of the resource materials that they have available here. I do have a couple up here that you can look at that I have listed. Okay, and then last, make a comment. If you have anything to say, a question, a statement, you know, just break in and say what you want to, okay? So don't worry about interrupting me. Okay, first of all then, on the number one there, is dealing with awareness of group dynamics. And it is important as we look to train adults for youth leadership positions that we deal with that idea of group dynamics. What happens in a group so that adults are aware of some of the things that are going on in a group that you might not readily hear, okay, or see. And some of the maybe questions that are asked, and I'm sure you can identify yourself along these areas. And when you're in a new group for the first time, or you've been coming to a group for a long time, there's questions that you might ask yourself as you come into the group, such as, will I be accepted? Who's going to do, or how is the leading going to be done? Will I fit in? And maybe even how close will it get? Okay, and these questions, I think if we learn to deal with them in a positive manner, will help adults, and there are obviously more questions than that. But if we can deal with some of these questions that are in the area of group dynamics, what's going on in a group, in a positive manner, as we look to potential youth leaders, it'll be a plus for them, okay? So that, just to close this section then, and this concept, is that there are things going on in groups that adults need to be aware of underneath the surface, so to speak. Okay, moving down to the second one listed there is the concept of developing one's understanding of Christian ministry. And it goes into somewhat what we were talking about earlier in the large group this morning, that adults understand that, or learn to understand, come up with the concept that it's not just youth ministry as something set apart from Christian ministry or the ministry of the church, which is service. You know, it is youth ministry is a part of the whole, and the whole being Christian ministry, and that is serving Jesus Christ by serving others, so that they come to grasp, maybe even do some wrestling with that idea. So they become aware of that concept. Okay, and maybe another way to look at it is, how does ministry, Christian ministry, look, sound, and feel to the young person? How does it look, sound, and feel to the young person? And to get that exposure to adults, that concept. You know, what is youth ministry? What is Christian ministry? I think it, you know, involves people. It involves sharing with people, caring with people, loving, living, learning, planning. Another concept. Define and further develop my personal style of ministry with a potential youth leader, adult. What kind of style does that person have? Do they know that styles exist in leadership? And how to get them to understand that they indeed do exist, and what kind of style do they have, or style. And it's a little bit about style. Maybe to get to ask the question, or have them ask the question themselves. What or how or when am I most comfortable as a leader? Okay, when are you most comfortable when you see yourself in a position of leading? And along this idea of style of ministry, I think we can look again at, you know, the idea of youth ministry. And youth ministry is being looking at it as something young people do. Okay, something young people do. It's not what we do for or to young people. Okay, it's something that they do. You know, the emphasis is on action, their involvement. It's not something we do for them or to them. And that comes into a personal style of leadership. Or ministry, I'm sorry, ministry. And part of that, the style of ministry, is hooked up with the style of leadership, okay? And what kind of style of that does that person that you're looking to have as a youth leader have? And maybe to get at that, you could maybe answer these kinds of questions or these statements. Have an adult in a group, or adults in a group, and maybe lay these statements out in front of them and see how they can identify with them. Statements like, do you see yourself or your style of leadership to be a friend? Okay, we're looking at adults to youth here, okay? To be a friend. And you can use a lot of these things with just the youth planning, too, in the area of getting youth involved in the planning and asking the youth these questions, too. Do you see your style as being a friend? How about being a helper? Be a boss. Be an observer. Be a chauffeur. Be a decision maker. Be a disciplinarian. Be a listener. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but listening is very, very important when you're looking for things in adult leaders. Aspects of their character. Do you see yourself as being an advice giver, your style? Be an idea giver, an encourager, an advocate. I think one of the best ideas or concepts to get across to potential youth leaders when you're looking to train them is the idea of shared leadership. Shared leadership. That it's a team effort. Okay, it's the adults with the youth in a team effort of leading. And we'll talk somewhat more about that in a few minutes too. But in the area of, I guess, styles of leadership, then we would look at maybe a stereotype that we have. And neither good nor bad, but when we maybe get in a group, and whether it be in a classroom or a Bible study setting, or here this morning, when you see people that maybe are not afraid to speak out, that express themselves rather well verbally in front of the rest of the group, usually say to yourself, if that's not yourself that's doing that, you know, hey, that person, you know, you could, as you would, if you were thinking along the lines of leadership, that you would say, that person's got some, that person would be a good leader. And the point that I want to make here in bringing this up, this example up, is that that is just a characteristic, I see it, it's just a characteristic of some styles of leadership, okay? And that person, say, who you would identify as one who is very self-confident, sure of himself, can speak up in front of a group and can formulate his thoughts very well, that very well could be a leader that you could use and use well with youth ministry. However, I don't think, you know, it would necessarily be a characteristic in all your youth potential adult leaders in youth ministry, okay? That in some forms of ministry, that's where it's at, and that's good to have people like that. But I don't think we have to have 10 people on the youth board or involved in youth ministry that have that kind of characteristic. You know, there's plenty of room for other kinds of characteristics, other styles of leadership. Okay. Another concept I've got it listed there is number 4. The question, what am I as a youth leader to do? You have these adults out there in your parish, and you're looking to get them involved in youth leadership, youth ministry. You know, they obviously are going to have the question, what am I to do as a leader of youth? And along those lines, if you look at the blue printout or handout that I passed out, if you can't read all the words in that little cartoon, it goes, imagine you're 18, not my father and church elder. Now how do you like it? There's some neat words in those three short paragraphs there, but I don't want to really get into them now because of the time situation. But there are 6 statements below there, and I think they're good in pointing us to characteristics, I guess, or what a youth leader should be doing or should not be doing in the case of the first one. Never laugh at their problems, and that we mean the youth problems. Never laugh at them. Recognize religious and spiritual doubts. This is when you are needed most. Okay. Be and you know, one of the easiest ways, the best ways of doing it is being in tune with what's going on in your parish, in your community, with youth. Never be ashamed to admit I don't know. You don't have the answers to all their questions. Provide information before asking for conviction. Teach the youth the differences, or the difference between criticism and evaluation. And I think we all need some learning in that area, even as adults. And then reach youth through their interests, okay? Their interests. Yeah, Pat.
The thing that's sort of frustrating me, a lot of times with myself and I meet with other youth leaders, you'll notice that there's a problem, and you might know what the problem is, but you don't exactly know how to go about handling it. Would you say that once in a while it's just good to just be very blunt and just say, okay, kids, say, I noticed we as a group are experiencing this problem, I'm not really sure how to handle it. How do you think we should handle it? Do you think that once in a while that's a good approach to take?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Because that is an element of honesty, and kids, youth really respect that, the honesty element in people. And again, it's saying to them, I need your help too. And people, youth, like to hear that. They like to be involved in that kind of decision making. We'll talk a little bit more about some of these things as I go down some of the other concepts. Okay, and this is the next thing that you have, is the pink handout, is extremely important. Extremely important. I can't emphasize it enough. When you're in a parish, and you're looking to have leaders give them something that they can look at, that they can touch and feel, that says, this is what I'm supposed to do.
And then finally,
the pink sheet there is a job description, an example of one. And, you know, you can take that and use what you want to, adapt it. But I would really think that you would want to use job descriptions in your work with volunteers, whether it be in youth ministry, whether it be in any other part of Christian ministry. It's extremely important because it gives them handles for what they're going to be doing. Some things that I think you need to put on job descriptions, the tasks that you want them to perform, definitely, and abilities needed. I think that might be just something that you would have maybe in a personal, just for your personal file. That person's involvement now. The setting, what is it going to involve? Where is it going to happen? In what area? People who that person, that volunteer is under or supervised by. And this is a very important normal length of commitment. Make sure you put that in your job description. That they know how long they're going to be serving, whether it's 6 months, 5 years, or forever, That's a lot of times, I think that's why I don't put time things when we talk about job descriptions, because we like to have them there forever, and we don't want to put that on them. Okay, and then on the back of the pink one here, there's several good things there, several good statements to look at and to digest. Maybe not here, but at some future time when you have some extra time on your hands. But Roman numeral 3 there, in recruiting a qualified person to fill each position. And again, this could be for any part of Christian ministry, but here we're just talking youth. Does this person have the ability to do the job well, okay? The job that you have defined in your job description for that person, that lay volunteer, does that person have the ability to do the job well? Does that person have sufficient time to give to the job? Does that person have sufficient interest in the job? Those are very key questions to ask. And then it gets to number 4, talks about visits, it talks about at least 2 times. I don't want to spend too much time. But, this is very important, that concept of a job description. You need that.
The leader, or who does the leader
supervise? Just from that statement, you can take it either way. But you probably want to make that more specific and identify that as supervision, maybe to who, what group, and then maybe supervised by would be another element there that you would add. Right? Okay. I'd just like to read a couple statements that I came across in doing some reading to prepare for this topic. One goes like this: professional church workers too often ask lay people to do a task and then do not offer any direction or training on how to complete the task. No comment. I think we all can say, yeah, that's probably true. No, that is true. And I think job description goes a long way in helping that situation. Another comment as far as in the area of concept, the concept of what am I to do as a youth leader? What's my job? What's my function? I'd like to read another statement I came across. Adults concerned for youth as individuals. Okay, that statement itself is very important. As a leader, what are you to do? Adults concerned for youth as individuals. Concerned. They're interested in them. And consistency between what adults actually do and what they say they believe are very important to the youth concept of adulthood in the parish. And the whole idea of modeling comes in there. And that's extremely important also. That adults see their task, one of their tasks, as a youth leader is as a model. That they say to the young people, you do as I do. And they're not saying you do as I say, not as I do. They're not getting into that little play on words. Yes, Pat. Yeah, I think that can happen. I think that, you know, obviously does happen in a lot of parishes.
Building on Bible study is one thing that I think you can do.
I think
it's a good foundation.
You know, I think pastors, when they get involved in both confirmation instruction, 7th and 8th grade, I think that is a good, one of the best areas of just getting them involved with youth. Other than, you know, preparing them for First Communion, I think, you know, just their involvement with youth is very, very important in the area of confirmation. Because it's a natural, you know, it's a natural plug-in for a pastor. Okay, modeling. Again, important. That they see themselves as models, okay? That adult leader who's going to be leading you
says,
yeah, okay, I understand. I'm going to be a model for young people.
And are varied enough time-wise and style-wise that people sort of are akin to
another statement
more of what's going on
that I came across.
Preparation in the
quote, you youth who remained highly active in their congregations after confirmation gave two principal reasons in addition to parental example, parental encouragement, and attitude. Okay, these two reasons over and above that reason of parental example, parental modeling. And again, here you can see the importance of parents in youth ministry, in Christian ministry. Those two reasons were, over and above the parents, I feel I am accepted by the other members of the congregation. I am accepted by the other members of the congregation. And then secondly, I feel I am making a needed and worthwhile contribution. A needed and worthwhile contribution. Those are important for young people, for anybody. For middle-aged people. For old people. You know, the acceptance idea. And, you know, sad to say that in a lot of congregations that's not the case. You know, the youth get relegated to do special tasks like picking weeds and cleaning out kitchens, things like that, which I'm not saying is bad. I think that can be a good service. But a lot of times the reason they give them that is for the wrong attitude, for the wrong reason. They're delegated that. And I think that's wrong. Okay, going down then. Another concept, to be able to recognize some of my strengths for leadership. Okay, that adults, again, adults that you're looking to train or are training for youth leadership, that they look and try to identify some of their own strengths. Okay, what are some characteristics of a good youth counselor? Some strengths of a good youth leader? First of all, and I don't want to use the word first. In totality, their commitment to Jesus Christ. Their commitment to Jesus Christ has to be there. And here comes the modeling role again, that as they are committed to Jesus Christ, and the idea that as Jesus Christ was a servant, they too will be servants, that it'll show, one of the ways that they will model that is through their participation in worship and their participation in Bible study. Okay, so what I'm saying here is I think youth leaders should be involved in those types of things, that aspect of Christian ministry, worship, Bible study, because that shows, that's an outgrowth of what I think they would be feeling is their commitment to Jesus Christ. they have to be, they should be a good listener, okay? A listener. To be and listening can be, active listening is one skill that can be learned when we're talking along these areas of training. Active listening, that's hearing the total message that a young person is telling you. And that involves eye contact. It involves hearing all that they say to you, and that halfway through their message to you, you start formulating in your mind your answer for their statement or question or concern presented to you. You start thinking of what you're going to say to them once they stop. That's not active listening, okay? Because what you're doing is getting in the way. Your thought process is coming up with an answer, a neat answer, you know, that's going to solve their problem or concern. It's getting in the way of what they're saying to you. And you probably, I'm not saying you're going to lose all of what they're saying, but you're going to probably lose some of what they're saying, some of that message. But you might lose some of it. Okay. So try not to do that, or not try. Don't do that. And get that idea across to you. I'm a youth leader.
What does it take to get an adult to even want to participate in this kind of thing? Are we talking about volunteers? Are we talking about being elected by the youth to serve? Or where are we getting these people from before they can even begin to look at their strengths?
I feel that the way it usually works is that as a, quote, leader in a parish, you would know people who would have some of these characteristics that we've been talking about, and that you would go out and say, initially, would you be interested in getting involved in youth ministry? And then if there is maybe, an inkling there, well, would you be willing to get involved in some training? You know, I think that's the way it usually works. Looking for commitment. You know, those people that are committed, like I said, to Jesus. That's where it's at. And if you've got that, and you can, you know, in training sessions, you can teach and you can have them learn some of these other characteristics that they should have. What time are we supposed to? We're over now. Let me real quickly then jump to a planning, and that is very important. The last one down there, planning for it says youth there. It should be youth ministry. That could be your youth ministry. Again, it's very important to plan to. Come up with goals. And one concept here that you're not involved in when you're planning youth ministry is that the idea that you're not giving people ideas or programs to, quote, buy into. You know, you're not doing that. You're not giving them ideas or programs to buy into. What you're doing is in youth planning, in planning for any kind of ministry, specifically here youth ministry, is you're making attempts for those people to come up with, you know, their ideas. You know, they're coming up with the ideas, you're not. They're coming up with the programs, you're not. Okay, you're getting them to work through assumptions. And real quickly, that goldenrod sheet, the green sheet, first of all, gives you some generalizations about youth who are 12, 13, and 14. It comes in four areas of physical, mental, social and spiritual realm. And then underneath that you have some attitudes that we would like to see present in adults dealing with young people. Attitudes and then subsequent behaviors. The goldenrod sheet again here, checking out assumptions that you might have or an adult would want to go through and characterize these and come up with an idea, okay, of where you want to go, or where you think youth ministry should go in your parish. Goal, extremely important, setting up goals. And what kind of goals do you want to have? This soft colored sheet, yellow sheet, is a neat resource to have. Okay? It's called a SCAMP model, if you ever come across that. Okay, specific, cohesive, attainable, measurable, personal, and short. I think one of the problems with the, I better not say this since it's on tape. Okay. Say something about LYF. Yeah, they can do that too. Yeah. In a youth board meeting, that would have adults and youth present. You know, make sure when you're getting into the planning process that you're going to have both adults and youth on your youth board. Make sure that that's there. Yeah.
One thing I would ask here to you is that in our youth age bracket, there's a brain physically coming to maturity, and that has a lot to do with what happens in the
mental health. Yeah, it flows out of that. I'd like to close real quickly by just reading.
All right, thank you very much.
The blue printout that I gave
here,
you.
And
specific youth ministry contends that youth are helped to understand themselves, the world, others, and God when present with sensitive adults. It assists us without apology and seeks to breed adults who neither dominate youth nor vacate the area in fear of youth. And then it quotes three types of adults who, and as they react to youth. The overcritical looks at the teenager with mingled fear and condemnation. They have a mental image of the whole generation becoming delinquent. The exploiter looks upon teenagers as controllers of impressive spending power amounting to millions of dollars. The indoctrinator, those who see the young primarily in terms of supporters of the causes to which the same adults have given their lives. The causes may be directed towards religious. And here's a very where it's at paragraph. The adults of youth ministry vintage must particularly be on guard against the third danger. Youth are not valuable to the church because they are the future church. Okay, and that's what one of the guys said in opening devotions today. He alluded to the fact that a lot of people say that youth, or we deal with youth because of the future church. That's the wrong attitude. They're not the future church, they're the church. They are the church. Now, youth are not valuable. Okay, youth are valuable because they are valuable, because they are valuable, because they are valuable. Praise the Lord for that. They are valuable. They are. Thank you.